John chapter 10, we'll read the 11th and the 12th verse. Ready? Go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Jesus is simply saying, I don't run from your fights. I fight for you.
Life is a journey. And as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
For this Christmas season, we want to put a focus on Jesus. Who are we putting the focus on?
Jesus.
So it is not Xmas, it is Christmas. It is about Him. It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Amen? Have you ever gone to a birthday party that they said there's no celebrant? It's just a birthday party? Every birthday party has what? A celebrant. And Christmas has a celebrant. His name is Jesus. Amen. And last week we saw Jesus when he said about himself, he says, I am the light of this world. When you lit up those Christmas lights, it is not about the lights, but it is about the light of this world. Amen. We also understood that we are the lesser light. He is the greater light. Genesis 1 verse 14, the Bible says, God created two lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the... So you are created to rule darkness. Don't ever allow darkness to overpower you. This is who God has made you. Today, I want to focus on another thing Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. So we'll be using as a subject this morning, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Every Christmas nativity scene that you have, you will see that there are shepherds in it and there are sheep in it. So whenever you see the shepherd and the sheep, let's not worry about the people who we saw back then that we sing about, while shepherds watch their flocks by night. But we are actually going to talk about Jesus, the good one, shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd. So if you will, please turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the lesson is actually from verses 1 to verse 17, but I'll be reading only from verse 7 to verse 11, but I'll teach from the entire 17 verses. John chapter 10, here Jesus is talking to the Pharisees because something has happened. Let me give a background so that you understand the reading. In John chapter 9, how many of you remember the man who was born blind? That the disciples were asking Jesus, is this man blind because of the sins of his parents or something else? And Jesus said, it's none of those, but that the glory of God will be what? Will be made manifest. Jesus heals the man. The Pharisees don't like the idea that Jesus did it on the day of the Sabbath. So then they got hold of this gentleman and they asked him, who heals you? And he says, my understanding is that it's Jesus who healed me. And they told him, Jesus is not good. He's a bad dude. He is not God, because all the claims that he makes. And you all remember what the guy said, whether he's a sinner or he's not a sinner, or he's this or he's that. Me, I don't know. There is one thing. What is it that he knew? I was blind, but now I can see for real. Once I was blind, but now I see. And the scripture says, as soon as they heard that in John chapter 9, verse 41, they excommunicated him from the church. It's sad that you would talk about Jesus and you will be excommunicated. He says, all I know that whether you think this guy is good or bad, once I was blind, now I can see. This is who we are talking about. Jesus, the light of the world that brings light to those who sit in darkness. So Jesus confronted the Pharisees and says, you are blind, but this man used to be blind, now he can see. Why? Because he's talking about spiritual blindness for the Pharisees. And Jesus goes on to now begin to, please pay attention, this is very crucial, to begin to bring forth like a story, like a parable, and he talks about a sheepfold. Everybody say a sheepfold. All right? A sheepfold is like, back in those olden days, there were sheep, and then they had fence all around the sheepfold, and then there's a little gate. And Jesus is saying that there is a sheepfold, which is symbolic of the kingdom of God. And he says, to that sheepfold, the walls are not higher. All right? So somebody can climb the walls and get in. But the shepherd to that sheep always go through the door, because the door is one. And Jesus said, I am that door. Not Muhammad. Not Confucius. Not Buddha. I am there. He says, I am the door. And he said, anybody who climbs some other way, other than going through the door, is a thief. When you read it, later on, Jesus says, they are not only thieves, but they are wolves. So he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have what? There you go. So Jesus was referring to the Pharisees and the false prophets as the ones that climb the wall and never goes through the door. Then he says, I am not only the door to the sheepfold, I am also the shepherd, the good one, not the crazy one. Did you get the background? All right, with that in mind, John chapter 10, let's start from verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate. Much older versions will say I'm the door. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. Now, when he say all who have come before me, he's not talking about prophets. He's talking about those who have come and have claimed that they are Christ, all right? All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Please underline that statement, because it's so crucial. He's saying that the only way that you can distinguish a true shepherd from the bad ones is that the sheep listens only to the voice of that of their shepherd. So be careful whose voice you are listening to. I said, be careful whose voice you are. We claim to be Christians, but we listen to all kinds of stuff. Whose voice are you listening to? Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Please underline that. I, Jesus is speaking here, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Other versions say, have it more abundantly. Verse 11. Please read with me from the screen. Shall we read? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Amen. I want us to glean some few principles from this lesson. Let's go back to verse 7, because Jesus is stating here clearly that I am the door. Everybody say door. It is interesting how we live in a world where many people believe and they think that there are so many ways to get to God. It's called pantheism. Everything. No, there is only one way to God. With all due respect to every single one of them, please, Jesus himself said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Anybody who climbs some other way is a thief. Pastor, you are being intolerant. I am being scriptural. I am stating the obvious. Is it not obvious that it is one or the rest? It can be both. Do you agree? How many of you have crossed the street the same time the cars are crossing? How many have done that? If you saw anybody cross the carriageway the same time cars are crossing, what would you say? You would think that the people are not good upstairs. Do you agree? It means they're either crazy or something else, some mental health is going on. So even in real life, normal life, it tells you it's either or, either you or the cars. So it cannot be Jesus and all. It is either Jesus or the rest. And it is not the rest, so it is Jesus. I'm showing you how to prove that Jesus is the only way through a logical means without using scripture. It is called the law of non-contradiction in mathematics. That's what I just showed you. It is either that or nothing else. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate to the sheepfold. So then he told Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is saying that I am the one through whom you can get into the kingdom. The first lesson I need you to write down from this verse that we learn is that Jesus is your access into the kingdom of God and to all that God promises. Jesus is your access. Jesus is your access. Jesus is my access into the kingdom of God. Not a pastor, not a politician, not some church, but Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful God that you are. Jesus, the Son of the living God. In fact, the Bible says that on that day that Jesus was born, they began to sing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They call him Emmanuel. If you conjugate that both in Latin and the Hebrew, it means God in the flesh. He has showed up. And so John the apostle says, and the word became what? Flesh. He is the door. And this is not a foreign concept. The symbol of salvation in the Old Testament was the ark. How many doors do you have to the ark? One. Anybody in our modern world will look at that marine vessel and say, God is not a good marine engineer. Because you don't build something 450 feet, 75 feet, 45 feet, bigger than the Titanic and give it only one door. That is against egress laws. Do you understand egress laws? The exit in case of fire. We were trying to close that up, but they told us it's against egress. In other words, there has to be several doors that in case of fire, you can go out. But what a wonderful God we serve. He builds that ark, gives it only one door, and he's saying, because I am foreshadowing that there is only one door, Jesus Christ, who one day will come to earth. It's a good place to clap your hands and give him glory. One door. One. Come on, talk to me. How many doors? So through Jesus, you have access not only into the kingdom of God, but also into the promises of God. Amen. Look there with me, verse 10. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The thief comes only to what? It is interesting that he's talking about himself, but he introduces the thief. Look at verse 12. Read with me in verse 12. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, so now he does not only introduce the thief, but he introduces the wolf. Sometimes the wolves and the thieves are everywhere. The second principle I need you to write down is that you must beware of the thieves and the wolves. Beware of the and the. Satan is the thief, but Satan works through people. Satan is the wolf, but he works through people. So sometimes there are people, you know, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are thieves in church. It's a very hard thing to teach. In the context of this lesson, Jesus was referring, the thief refers to the Pharisees. Just so we don't cry over identity as to who Jesus meant today, let us focus on what the thief does. What does the thief do? He steals our joy. Please write it down. He kills your relationships and he destroys your kingdom impact. He says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. They steal your joy. So anybody who walks into your life and steals your joy is a thief. Anybody who walks into your life and begin to kill the relationships that are important for your spiritual upliftment is a thief. Anybody who destroys your kingdom impact is a thief. Are you with me? We're not going to say it's some people. It is whoever does that. Anyone who steals our joy. You know how sometimes there are people when they walk into your life, you realize that all of a sudden, it is as if you were on the 10th floor and they brought you to the first floor. Something has changed dramatically. And the only thing you can reference to is their presence. I've made a decision in my home. You visit me, and then when you are done and you're gone, and I start fighting with my wife, you are not coming there anymore. I don't care who you are, because I like to protect my joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my. Yeah, you can't sap my strength. Pastor, it's just joy. No. The person is messing around with my strength. So the thief is the one who steals our joy. The thief is the one who kills our relationship. Do you realize that there are certain friends, when they come around you, they push other friends away? The question you need to ask yourself is, this friend who is pushing the other friends away, what is the purpose of the other friends in your life? Some of you, your friends have pushed me away from your life. But without me in your life, you won't get anybody to get in your face and help you out. It's a good place to say amen. Amen. All of a sudden, you fall in love with this girl and you don't like your wife. She is destroying your. Talk to me. That's a thief. And today, we burn all thieves. Amen. I'm looking in the sky. All thieves. Amen. I'm trying to bring the message home. Stop focusing your head on Satan. Let Satan be. The thieves are around you. I said the thieves are. They are killing your relationships. Sometimes the thief is on social media. You see, the thief is on social media. You listen to some individual, as soon as you're done, there is chaos and fire in your home. And you're looking at it. No. That's a thief. The thief does not only steal our joy, kill our relationships, but you realize that you don't do anything from the kingdom. Your kingdom impact, they take care of it. They destroy it. You are serving so powerfully in the church. They speak one word into your ears. You stop. They destroyed your kingdom impact. It's not about what they said. It's about what they are achieving. This is why when a little boy is even talking and preaching, I write notes. Just so you know, I do. Why? Because God can literally use pretty much anyone. And there are certain powerful things he will not send you, but sometimes he will send somebody who is way below my standard, so to speak, on human terms. Beware of the thief. I said, beware of the thief. Satan is the thief, and anyone he works through is also a thief. So pay attention to who is stealing your joy, who is killing your relationships that are vital for your spiritual life, and who is destroying your kingdom impact. Amen. Jesus is saying, I am the door, but I need you to beware of the thief. But secondly, beware of the wolf. Everybody say the wolf. In this context, if you read the scriptures, wolf referred to several things. But in the context in which we are, the wolf is symbolic of someone who attacks the sheep and scatters them. Wolves throughout the scripture has various meanings. Sometimes it's symbolic of someone who is violent and sneaky. Somebody who just attacks people and destroys them. But in the context in John chapter 10, where we are, a wolf attacks the sheep and a wolf scatters the sheep. Everybody say, attack and scatter. I want you to know that wolves are everywhere. They might be at your place of work and they want to devour you. But today, may God deliver you from a wolf. Amen. Wolves are in the political arena. There are thieves there. Sometimes it is the laws that are being passed that have become thieves and wolves. Now, I need you to follow me very carefully, because thieves come to steal, kill, and destroy. They steal your joy. They kill your relationships. They destroy your kingdom impact. But wolves pretty much do something that is not easy to notice. And I want to open your eyes to it. The focus of the attack is to scatter. Everybody say that. Let's read John 10, verse 12 again. And runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Jesus is comparing himself to the wolf. And he's saying, because I own the sheep, and I am the door to the sheep, and I am the shepherd to the sheep, whenever a wolf is coming, his life is also at stake. Do you realize that? On the earthly sense, whenever a wolf shows up, the life of the shepherd is also at stake. Now, if you own the sheep, would you run away from your sheep? But if you were hired as a shepherd, would you stand up for the sheep? This is why you need to be careful when you vote to hire a pastor. Because if he's a hireling, when the sheep have issues, he can run away. I am your shepherd. I have nowhere else to go. It's you I have to take care of. When I see a wolf, I have my ways of dealing with that wolf. Personally, I don't believe in using words. I believe in going on my knees and asking him to deal with you. Jesus, now pay attention, says, I am not a hireling. I am a shepherd. I own the sheep. So anytime I see a wolf, I lay my life down. We will come to that. But I want us to look at the dynamics of the wolf activity. Wolves attack, and the purpose of attack is to scatter. The purpose of the, oh, come on, people. The purpose of the is to. Now, if you have a bunch of sheep and you scatter them, what happens to the sheep? They become isolated. So let's rephrase it, that the focus of the wolf attack is to isolate you. The focus is to isolate you. Please, the next few things I'm about to say, take it as a correction for all of us, including myself, and pay attention to what the devil is doing. Wolves want to scatter the sheep, and that is to isolate them. Write it down. You are not strong enough by yourself. There's a reason for which he's trying to scatter. Because the strength of the sheep is in the pack, is in their numbers. When the sheep is together, the wolf finds it difficult to attack. But when you are isolated, he will simply take you out that quick. This is why Satan works so hard to make sure that Christians are fighting each other. As long as we are isolated, he's happy. He'll take you out. So, I want you to look at the person sitting next to you. I'll give you what to tell them. Please look at them. If they are far away from you, please get closer. Are you guys ready? You're already laughing, so I don't know. I haven't given you what to say. Say this to them. From today, let's stop fighting. Because I need you to protect me from wolf attack. So-and-so called you, so-and-so called you, told you something. You say, I don't want to hear it because I need them. Their strength is in the pack. I've often heard people, I pray, and after I fasted, I sense the need to be isolated. That is demonic. No Holy Spirit will tell you to isolate because he knows that the enemy will take you out. Their strength is in there. I'll prove it to you. In the book of Luke chapter 15, you all remember Jesus was talking about a shepherd who loses one sheep. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. Does it sound sensible to you? Because the shepherd knows that the 99 together have protection, but the one by itself does not have protection. So let's stop this whole idea. I don't like the anything. Little thing. I want to stay home. I want to stay away from church. What for? Because Satan is happy. He will take you out. I've often said this. When people leave church, they leave church before they leave church. Do you understand what I mean? They are sitting here, but they already left before they leave. Because Satan has already isolated them by just reminding them, Chris doesn't like you. Meanwhile, Chris has his own issues. Pastor, he hates you. I don't. When you walk past me on the hallway, he didn't say hello. Do you know my troubles? Just get close. Hey, bro, you just passed me, didn't say hello. Is everything okay? You need the next person. I said you need them. You are not strong no matter how you fast and pray. You are not strong by your. It is when we come together. Didn't the scripture says one will put to flight 1,000 and two how many? If one is 1,000, two ought to be 2,000. How in the world has two now become an exponential effect? Because God knows that our strength is in the pack. If you have 3 doctorate degrees and have not been to school, we are supposed to be together. Stay close and let's walk together. Did I say that? I did. You feel you are simply above everybody else. You have this level of pedigree. You don't come close. Let's just be honest. If I showed up here every Sunday with a 3-piece suit, and when you get close, I say, hey, stay back. The anointing is what? Some of you, the level of respect you give me will be more than because I come quietly and peacefully. The truth is, your behavior won't change who I am because one day I will stand before God. That thing matters more to me than anything else. You wear special suits from some big stores. Maybe I also wear mine from another place. So all of a sudden, you look too big. Your children can't even play with mine. No, you need me. I said, you what? And I need you. Because there are days when I wake up, I don't feel like praying. In fact, when I see my wife likes prayer. When I see her pray, I say, hey, this woman, if this is the only way you stay married, keep on, pray. But I feel a surge of energy from nowhere. Where is that coming from? Because most of you are praying for me. Look at them and tell them, from today I need you to understand. We cannot afford to keep fighting. This fighting thing needs to stop because I need you. So this Christmas season, when you see the sheep, remember you need the other person because they are also at sheep.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.